Exodus chapter 28 tonight. This is part two to a message that I began. When did I begin it? Don't know. But anyway, this is part two, all right? Exodus chapter 28. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on verses 31 through 43. Exodus 28, verse 31 through the end of the chapter. I would tell you to go back and get the first part, but I don't remember when it was. Anyway, it might have been Wednesday night or last Sunday night. Don't worry about it, all right? But it's somewhere in the past, all of this. So we appreciate you being here tonight to hear part two to this message. It is always good to have Brother Graham, his dear wife Renee, with us. He'll be preaching Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, and he's got one of the national pastors going to be with him and doing a fabulous job, and we're excited about this and praying for him and this national pastor as they speak on Wednesday evening. I hope you'll be right back in your place here and asking the Lord to speak to your heart. Just going to give you one verse to get the title, because I'm preaching on all of these verses, verses 31 to 43, and I'm picking up with point number three tonight. Look at verse number 41. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. This is part two to the message that I began entitled, The Priest's Office. The priest's office. This book has been a blessing traveling through it, and this passage is no different. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that you're like, what in the world? But when you look at it, it's got some great practical helps for us as believer priests in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this service that you've brought us back to, and I pray that you help my heart to be right, help my heart to be clean. May there be literally nothing standing between you and me, I pray. Please, Lord, you know that's my heart. And I pray as I preach that it's not me that preaches, but that you speak through me. Take full control of my mind, my thoughts, my words, and may the compassion of Jesus Christ come out through me tonight. Speak to us clearly. May we understand what is preached, and may we apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of this will be repeat. As we continue our study of this chapter, we see the garments of the high priest and his sons on display for us. Now, in these verses, we see Aaron, the high priest, is mentioned first with his robe that had the bells and the pomegranates on the hem. He also had a mitre, which means an official turban, a diadem, a crown, if you will, that had a golden plate with the words inscribed on it or engraven on it, Holiness to the Lord. The garments of Aaron's sons included coats, girdles, bonnets, and breeches. That's what we're going to be preaching on tonight, right there. Okay? You say, what'd you learn about? I learned about breeches tonight in the house of God, you know? The garments of Aaron, now don't get me tickled now, okay? The garments of Aaron and his sons were to set apart the priest's office unto the Lord. Now, it's the priest's office that grabbed my attention when I was studying these verses in this text. As I was studying this passage, the Lord seemed to draw my attention to the application of this chapter. In other words, the application of it is that all of us are believer priests in Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're saved today, you are a priest in the sight of God. By the way, that's a privilege. That's an honor. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 2, 9, but ye, talking about God's children, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is certainly an honor and a privilege to be considered a priest unto God today. This is only possible through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this passage, here's what I'm trying to say to you. As I show you what happened with these priests, and as we just kind of exposit this, if you will, as we tell you that's here's what this priest did, here's what these priests were to do, then we apply that today to our own lives as God's children. I'm giving you three things about the office of the priest, the priest office. And I've already preached on two of these. Let me tap the first two on the head because we're going to point three. First of all, we saw the priority of the priest office. Now, I've already preached on this, but in verses 35 and 43, you'll notice that God told them, you wear these clothes or else you're going to die. I mean, that's what he says. So we see the priority of the priest office was this: obey God. That's it. Now, friends, I know that's simple, but that's where we get in trouble, isn't it? I mean, isn't it when we just disobey God when we make our lives a wreck? Absolutely. We see the priority of the priest office back here in these verses that we apply to our lives as God's children, as priests. Is our priority is to obey the Lord. Secondly, we notice the purpose of the priest office. And that is found in verse number 41. I will read that again. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them. Notice this, that they may minister unto me. There's the purpose of the priest office. If I ask you tonight, what was the purpose of the priest office in the Old Testament? Some people might say, to stand between God and sinful man. And listen, you would be right because, I mean, it took the high priest to take the shed blood and to go into the Holy of Holies and spread it on the mercy seat. That is no doubt part of the duty of the high priest. But the purpose of the high priest was onefold. You know what it was? To serve the Lord. May I say this to you? Man is not a big enough motive. Man is not a big enough purpose and a big enough goal in this life. What I mean by that is this. Whatever you and I do, we are to do it for the Lord. We are to do it to serve God. For instance, we have Bible school canvassing coming up on Tuesday. I like to tap things on the head as I go here. Is it the will of God for God's children to tell others about Him? Yes or no? Absolutely. If you can be here, is it God's will for you to be here? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Is it so we can promote Bible school? Is it so we can knock on doors? Is it so we can tell people about Jesus? Be careful. All of those things are things that will be accomplished in that. People will be told, and they should be, because that's what God wants us to do, right? Doors will be knocked on, and that will be done. But the purpose for coming is to serve God. He's the motive. The motive should not be, well, the pastor, he begged me to do this, and I tell you, I just want to put a smile on his face. I'm not even going to be here, friends. Don't do it for me. If you're not doing it for the Lord, you'll quit. Amen, friends. This is the purpose of the priest office. It's to serve the Lord. God said, you tell them to do this that they may minister unto me. That's what he said. Then number three. This is a big word, and I probably should have went with some other letters instead of P's here, you know, like purpose and priority. Let me give you number three, the prerequisites. That's a big word that you'll probably never hear your pastor say again. You know what I mean? The prerequisites of the priest office. Now, that's just a big word that means the essentials. You have to have it. I mean, what are the essentials for the priest office? Just in these verses now I'm not talking about a topical study on the priest, okay, the office of the priest, because I'm tying myself down to the verses 31 to 43. If they were going to serve God, what were the essentials? What did they have to have? What does the priest office demand is what I'm asking. In these different things here that's mentioned in these verses, these different garments, we're going to be preaching on the garments of the priest office tonight. And as you look at these garments, you learn what the essentials to serve God really are in the priest office. Let me give you these things. How many of them are there? There's six, seven. No, I'm just kidding with you, all right? I've got five of them right here. If you want to serve God, question. Now, it's a Sunday night crowd, great crowd. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Let me ask you this question. I believe I already know the answer. Do you have a desire to please God, yes or no? Do you want to serve God, yes or no? Then these five garments are essential for you to have. If you don't have these and what they picture, you will not serve God the way He wants you to. Everybody with me where I'm going here? So let me just list these. These will be the main thoughts, letter A. In other words, let me just list the garments, and then I'm going to explain what that means. Okay? First of all, letter A. You must have a robe or a coat. You say, what are you talking about? Well, in verses 31 to 35, and then in verse number 40, let's read this. And thou shalt make the robe, there it is, the robe of the ephod, all of blue. Now, he's talking about the high priest, okay? There shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet round about the hem thereof, bales of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. It shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Look at verse 40. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats. There's where I get a robe or a coat. Thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. Now, let me explain this, all right? The first thing we note about the priest office is the high priest must have a robe on that was blue, that was underneath the ephod, that had bales and pomegranates hanging on the hem of it. Now, the bales were given to make a sound that when he went into the holy place, as he moved around doing his duty, those bells were ringing and people knew something. The high priest is alive. Glory. Stop and preach right there a while, friends. I mean, as he's walking around, ring, ring, ring. It didn't sound like that, you know, but ring, 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 all these kind of things. It was letting everybody else on the outside know the high priest is still moving around. He's alive. On top of this, if Aaron, now get this, the pomegranates are reported to speak of fruitfulness. The bales were a witness that he was alive. The pomegranates were a witness that he's bearing fruit. And all these kind of, now that no doubt is a picture of our great high priest, amen. That his bales never stop ringing. He's alive and doing well tonight. And he bears much fruit. But the way the Lord spoke to my heart here to apply it to us is that Aaron was demanded to have his robe on or else. He could not do the office of the high priest without his robe on. Aaron's sons were to have their coats on. And in both cases, God said, if they come into my presence and they do not have the coat or the robe, depending on who they were on, they will die. Now, how am I going to apply that? How did God apply it to me? Here's how God spoke to my heart. We dare not assume the office of priest before God without wearing the appropriate covering. Friends, the robe and the coat is a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And may I say to you tonight that you cannot become a priest in the eyes of God without having the robe on or the coat that covers your sinfulness. The Word of God says in Isaiah 64, 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Here's what God says when it comes to salvation. All of your righteousnesses, not your wickedness, not your ungodliness, not your sin, but all of your righteousnesses. In other words, every good thing you do in the sight of God when it comes to salvation are nothing but filthy rags. That's what God says. The Word of God says in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Zechariah 3:3-4. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from me, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. You know what God does when He saves you? May I put it this way? Before you got saved, I'm talking about all of your righteousnesses. All of your righteousnesses were as filthy rags before God. He saw blemishes in all the good things that you do, all the great things that you do, all the right things that you do. God looked at it and said, it stinks to me. Because they're trying to present it to me for salvation. It doesn't work that way. But when you go to God and you realize it's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you ask Him to save you and forgive you, and you put your faith in Christ and Christ alone, God gives you a robe of righteousness. He puts a coat on for you. He clothes you. He covers you. And when He sees you now, He doesn't see filthy rags. He sees the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. See, one of the essentials, the prerequisites of the priest office is you must have a robe, you must have a coat, and if you don't have it, don't you dare come into my presence, God says. What an essential. What a prerequisite. That's number one. Number two, this is letter B, he must have a mitre. This mitre is found in verses 36 to 38. Let's read it. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace that it may be upon the mitre. There it is. Upon the forefront of the mitre shall it be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. Here's what he said. I want Aaron to have a mitre on. I want Aaron to have a crown on. I want him to have something on his head with a golden plate with blue lace that has these words, holiness to the Lord. Now, another part of Aaron's attire was this mitre. And friends, I'm telling you, with this, Aaron was able to bear the iniquity of the holy things. And no doubt this is another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, who is all holy. And because he's all holy, he can bear our iniquities. Amen, friends. No doubt about that. But I'm applying it to us. The high priest is a picture of Jesus. We know that. And we rejoice that he's all holy and that he can bear our iniquities. Praise God for that. But how do we apply this to us as priests? Here's how God spoke to me. This was suited, this mitre, talking about the crown, this was suited to remind him of the sanctity of his office and his character. As the typical mediator between Jehovah and his people, and so especially required to be in all respects devoted in holiness to the service of a holy God, and to warn him neither to disgrace nor attempt to conceal his sacred functions. Here's the point. Here's application number two with the mitre. With the robe and coat, we apply it that we must be clothed right. We must have the robe and covered in the robe of righteousness before we can come into the presence of God. But secondly, we must have a mitre. Now I know it's talking about the Lord and His crown. He's all holy. I get all that. I'm applying this. I've told you this in the application message. How do we apply that to our life? We apply it to our life this way. When God told Aaron, I want you to have a crown on and engrave holiness to the Lord, He's saying you need to understand the dignity of this. You need to understand who you're representing. And you need to realize that this office is an office of holiness. You know what we get from here? The office of priest demands holiness before the Lord. It's not an option. It's an essential. It's a prerequisite. It is an absolute must. Now get it, what I'm preaching on tonight. Do you want to serve God? Yes. Do you want to be effective for God? Yes. Then these five things must be represented in your life. You must be clothed with the appropriate covering. You must be holy. If you're not holy, you cannot serve God the way He wants you to serve Him. It's that simple, friends. How long has this church, down through the years and even the decades, heard Dr. Gene Lasley preach on the separated holy Christian life? May I say this to you? As a young child, I didn't understand a lot of that. But the older I get, the more I want to come and hug you. And I'm not going to do that, and I'm for sure not going to kiss you. Amen. But I salute what you're doing because I understand now. I get it. When a preacher gets up and says, you ought to dress right, you ought to act right, you ought to do what God wants you to do, you ought to live a holy life. You know what all the preacher's doing? He wants you to be the best servant of God you can be. That's all he's doing. God cannot and will not be served the way He wants to be served if you're not living a holy life. Question, is your music holy? Are your standards holy? Is your TV watching holy? Is your attitude holy? I'm talking, are you a holy servant of God? Do you, spiritually speaking, wear a mitre on your head that has the words engraved on it, holiness to the Lord? What a picture. What a picture. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Psalm 96:9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Number one, the robe and coats, we learn from that. We apply to our lives as priests that we must have an appropriate covering to come in the presence of God. And only the sinlessness of Jesus Christ is the appropriate covering. Number two, we learn from the mitre that we are to be holy before God. Number three, we see the girdles. These are found in verses 39 and 40. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles. There it is. The priests were to have a girdle as part of their attire. One man said, and I quote, two thoughts are suggested by the girdle. By the girdle, what's suggested is it was an equipment for service. May I put it this way? According to my study, if I understood it right, it kept things out of the way. It kept things where it wasn't hanging loose and you'd trip over it. It girded things out of the way, you see. It helped equip you so you were free to serve. But the girdle also is a symbol of strength in the Word of God. Now get this. The girdles of the priest tell of their equipment for service, and their strength for service is all found in Jesus Christ. Listen to these verses. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Listen to this. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. May I put it this way? Make sure everything's out of the way so when He comes, you're ready. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. May I paraphrase? Hem in your thoughts. Gird your thoughts. Don't let your mind wander aimlessly and wander ruthlessly and just start thinking about ungod. No, you make sure you're thinking about the right thing and hope for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your loins. Gird up your mind. Listen to this. Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt. There it is. There's the girdle. Girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. God's word says, gird up the loins and keep your eyes on the return of Jesus Christ. Gird up your mind and don't let it wander, realizing Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from heaven. And he says, here's what I want you to use as a girdle. Here's your girdle. Gird up your loins with truth. What is he teaching here? One man said, a man who allows his garments to be loose and who girds not up his loins will make little progress on his journey. We must therefore gather in our loose floating thoughts and wandering imaginations and learn to fix more continually our minds and understandings upon the death, the resurrection, and the coming of Jesus and the great truths connected therewith if we would pursue our path with less distraction. Here's what we learn from the girdles. We are to be ready to serve, girded with His strength and girded with His truth. We learn this from the girdles. That God doesn't want loose living. God wants your mind girded in. God wants your loins girded about with truth to keep your eyes on the sky, realizing King Jesus coming again, friends. You know what we need? We need Christians with girdles on. Girdles on. Do you have your girdle on? I'm talking in spiritual terms, obviously. You have your girdle on tonight? Or your thoughts wandering? Thinking about this and thinking about that and worrying about that and worrying about that. God says, gird up your mind. Gird it up. Bring it in. Hem it in. And hope for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what helps you in a world like the world we live in. To gird up your loins with truth. Gird up your mind with truth. And look in the sky and realize He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. That's the girdle, that He has given you what you need. He's equipped you for service, and He's given you the strength to get it done. Then number four, letter D, we notice the bonnets. This is found in verse number 40. Make them coats, thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets. These bonnets were coverings for the head. One man said, and I quote, it's been before remarked that the covering of the head betokened subjection. In other words, when they covered their head, they were recognizing being in the presence of a superior. Does that speak to you? In other words, you make sure that the priest, Aaron's sons, you make sure when they come into my presence that they're wearing a bonnet. You make sure they cover their heads. And according to my study, back in this day, what that meant is that they were recognizing when they wore it that He's superior to me. The Jews of this day will keep their heads covered in the synagogue. And even in private, when a strict Jew opens the Bible, he always covers his head. Why do they do that? Many times, and maybe even most of the time, these are people not even saved. Unsaved Jews many times show more respect to God than God's own children do. You know what we learn from the bonnet? I've already said it, but let me just paraphrase it here. One of the essentials of the priest office is a recognition that He's better than us. You know what one of the essentials of being a priest is? Recognizing that He's your superior. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What would it do spiritually if this crowd tonight, just this crowd, went out of here with bonnets on our head? What I'm saying is went out of here saying, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, you are my superior. I'm in subjection to you. And this head covering is telling you, I realize that I'm not equal with you. You're above me. I am yours. You are mine. Whatever you want me to do, my answer is yes. That's the bonnet. You tell me we don't need that today? We learn from this subjection to God. We learn from the bonnet that He's our superior and He's worthy to be listened to. He's our authority. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. All we're doing tonight is looking at the prerequisites, the essentials, the necessities, the requirements for being a priest, the priest office requirements. God didn't ask this of them, He demanded it of them. The robe and coats, we apply that in our lives, that we must be appropriately covered. And that covering is the robe of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we must have a crown on our head. And we learn from that that it's a place, the office, that's to be holy before God. The golden plate engraven, holiness to the Lord. Hey, if you're going to be holy, you can serve God. Amen. If you're not going to be holy, do whatever you want to do. Help yourself. You want to live your own way? Go ahead. But you will not serve God that way. God only accepts the service of holiness. Number three, the girdle. You must have the strength of God to gird you up. And because of that strength, you can serve Him the way He wants you to serve Him. You can't do it yourself. The bonnets, wearing the headpiece, saying that you realize He's your superior and that He's your authority and that you're going to live a life of subjection to Him. And then we close, number five, with the breeches. The breeches. Great truth here. Notice the language in verse 42. Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. They shall be upon Aaron, upon his sons, when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statue forever unto him and his seed after him. The linen breeches. The priests were to wear these, the Bible says, to cover their nakedness. This will make sense momentarily. There was to be no nudity at all in the priest office. There was to be no immodesty in the priest office. Now listen to me, I could preach a while right there, okay? I could preach a while right there. But I'm gonna just let the Holy Spirit take that and drive it home to you. Cover yourself, amen. But it's not the main thought He's getting across. As they perform their duties as a priest, you know what God is saying here? When I watch you in the priest office approaching me, I don't want to see any flesh involved at all. Boy. Their flesh was to be completely covered out of the sight of God. What's it mean? What's the point? I'm getting ready to give it to you now, okay? One man said, thus these linen breeches speak of that perfect provision which God has made for His people in Christ, that which He has made an end of flesh before Him. And what is the practical lesson to be drawn from the breeches? This. Here it is now. All that is of the flesh must be kept out of sight in our priestly activities. The point here is the priest office is not to be done in the flesh, but in the power of Almighty God. One man said that which is of the flesh is bad anywhere, but it's most of all out of place in the holy service of God. What could be more dreadful than for such things as vanity, jealousy, emulation, a desire to make something of oneself, to come into what should be spiritual service? All that would be indeed the flesh of nakedness, it is not to be seen. Flesh has no place in the service of God. John 4:24, God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. May I paraphrase it this way? When you go about doing the work of God, by the that was the priest's duty. They were serving God. They were obeying the Lord. It was a high, exalted position. But as they went about their service, they were to have their mitre on. They were to be holy. They were to have their girdle on. They were to be girded about with strength and realize that they've been equipped to do what God's given them to do. They were to be covered with the robe or with the coat, with the right kind of covering. They were to have the bonnets on, realizing that they're in subjection to God. But then they were to have the breeches on to cover their whole nakedness. And God was saying, when you serve me, you make sure you're serving me in spirit, not in flesh. I'm cut. That cuts me. How many times have I knocked on the door and I was in the flesh? How easy would it be for me to get up Sunday after Sunday and preach in the flesh? How easy would it be for those who sing to get up and sing in the flesh? God says, you want to serve me? Thank you. I don't want to see you at all. I want to see your head covered. I want to see a crown on. I want to see a girdle on. I want to see breeches covering your nakedness. And I want to see a robe or coat covering you. Hey, when I say this to you, friends, may I put it this way? God's a holy God, friends. And he said, you either dress this way or you die. Now, what are the lessons that we learn from this passage of Scripture? I'm going back to the priest's office, the priority of it, the purpose of it, the prerequisites of it, with these five garments that we've looked at today, the robe, the coats. I'm putting those together as one, the covering, if you will, the mitre, the girdle, the bonnet, the breeches. Let me give you five lessons in closing here, okay? I'm just going to mention, I've already preached on them. I'm just coming back to summarize again. Number one, in this point right here, we must have an appropriate covering. If you're going to serve God, you must be covered right. You must be covered by what God told you to be covered with. God said it's a robe that's blue and this and that. It's a coat made of that and that. It's God's covering, not mine. Not just any covering does. Only God's covering does. You must be appropriately covered. You must be holy. That's the mitre. You must be ready to serve in his strength and his truth. That's the girdle. You must be in subjection to him. That's the bonnet. You must not display the flesh. That's the breeches. And in conclusion, may we walk out of here rejoicing that we've been made a priest in God's sight. And say, God, help my priority to be just to obey you. Help my purpose to be just to serve you. And help my requirements, my prerequisites, to be in place. May I have your robe. May I walk out of here. I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just getting blessed that God has blessed me, made me a priest, and is allowing me to serve him with my life. May he help me. I already have the robe on. That never changes. Amen. But may I constantly get out of the bed in the morning and put my mitre on. May I take a girdle and put it around. May I take my bonnet and put it on, saying, God, I will submit to you. And may I put my breeches on. Amen. Cover the naked. May when God sees me, he not see flesh. May he see his spirit working in the life of a little 5'7" to 8" country preacher. Amen tonight or not, friends. What a privilege to be known as a priest. May we realize that's not his privilege. It's ours. And may we dress the part and live according to his will. Father, I pray that you'll take these thoughts and use them. God, challenge our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be dressed right. May we have the robe and the coat on. May we have the mitre on and the girdle on and the bonnet on and the breeches on. Help us, Lord, to understand the importance of this. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, just real softly as you possibly can, if you'll just begin to play through softly. Are you a priest? Are you a priest? I'm asking, are you covered in the robe of righteousness? Do you have the appropriate covering on? Hey, you've been wearing your mitre? You've been displaying a holy life? Hey, do you have your girdle on? Got all the loose stuff that's trying to trip you up, girded up? Your mind, taking the truth and the ability that you have in Christ and serving Him in truth. Hey, you got your bonnet on? Walking around saying, you are superior. You are superior. And I will submit. Have your breeches on? Serving God in the spirit or in the flesh? Trying to do it just so others can see? You get jealous of others? All these kind of, hey, is flesh involved? Sure, it tries to be, isn't it? It's an ugly thing. May God help us when we feel the flesh coming. May we put our britches on. Amen. You know what would be good tonight? For God's children, just out of gratefulness to God, to come to the altar and say, I just want to thank you, Jesus, for making me a priest. And Lord, I don't want to get off this altar until I have my crown on. I don't want to get off this altar until I have my girdle on. I don't want to get off this altar until I have my bonnet on, my britches on. And when my priority is you and my purpose is you, then God, you help me get up and leave. I'm not going to have any singing tonight. She's just playing through. Not even going to have you stand, but if God is speaking to your heart right now, would you get out of your place and come? Come on. Come now. You say, John, I want to be a priest like that. I want to be a priest like that. I want to be a priest that has the mitre, that has the breeches, that has the bonnets. I want to be a priest like that. I want to serve God like that. I want to serve the Lord like that. What a privilege, what an honor. If you're here tonight and you do not have the appropriate covering, you do not have a covering that's right. Maybe you've tried to cover yourself in something other than what God told you to cover yourself with, other than the blood of Jesus Christ. You come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. May the Lord help you. Maybe some of you just want to turn around there in your seat if you want to get on your knees and just make your seat an altar. I hope you're praying. I hope you're asking God to make you a priest like this. Hope you're asking God to help you be dressed right. Have these things on. Hey, God's blessing this, no doubt about it. May the Lord help us to be a priest like that. A priest like that. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you're seated, you can look this way if you're not praying. It's amazing what God can teach you with just giving you one word in the Word of God with the word britches, isn't it? What a lesson He's teaching. I don't want to see any flesh at all. May God help us. Yes. We give Him praise tonight. We lift His name tonight. He is worthy. Our God is worthy to be praised. You know, standing right here, I'm done, I'm finished. But I feel such a touch of God right here in the pulpit. I feel Him very near to me right now. And I hesitate to close. He knows our heart. He knows what we want to do. And I want to tell Him that if He will show us and He will guide us, He will direct, we will keep our bonnets on. We will do our best to keep our crown on. We will keep our britches pulled up. We will keep our girdles locked tight. God, help us to do that. May the Lord challenge us. I cry when I feel God's presence. It's been a little while since I felt Him like I feel Him right now. And I praise Him. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. My, what must heaven be like, friends? The Bible says God Himself shall be with them, be their God. Rejoice in that tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we rejoice in who You are. Thank You for Your presence that You just allow us to feel every now and then. And I pray that You help us not to take it for granted. Lord, You know our heart. We want to be real. We want to have our mitre on, our girdles on, our bonnets on, our britches on. Help this church to do it. And to go forward like a mighty army. Thy will be done. We praise You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's appropriate to sing this on our way out tonight, and we will dismiss those going. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and dismiss you now. If you're going to the nursing home ministry, all those going to the nursing home ministry, if you'll leave your place, if you want to grab one of those VBS yard signs, they're available in the back. If you're going to the nursing home ministry, you are dismissed. Let's sing this verse, Brother Gary, just the first verse. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Let's stand together. This will be our closing prayer tonight. Let's sing it together and we'll be dismissed. Let's sing it. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the Potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yield hands. Thank you for being here. Please pray for my wife in the morning. We go in at 6. She's due to give birth around 10 or 10:30, and I'm liable to give birth right along with her, you know, all these kind of things. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you.